Good morning to you all again. I'm going to be over Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse down to the 12th verse. Very familiar scripture. Very familiar scripture. By the way, gentlemen, Christmas shopping has begun in earnest. Am I right? I'm talking to the men right now. I want to talk to you a little bit. I want you to understand this. Do you know what that means for us? Do you know what that means for us, gentlemen, what Christmas shopping means? It means that we are under incredible stress. Men are. Now listen, I want you to listen to this. A recent study showed that men going out in Christmas shopping, when they were out Christmas shopping under these circumstances that we're under, we all have to face when we're out there in this world. Now listen to this. Men tested between the ages of 22 and 79 had the same blood pressure rate when they were out Christmas shopping as a fighter pilot going into combat. That's what a study shows. Gentlemen, stay in the house. In the same study, though, women going out in those same conditions barely had any stress at all. Imagine that. Imagine that. They had hardly any stress at all when they went out to go Christmas shopping. But us guys, we were under extreme stress and conditions. And you know what? I believe you know what we should do. That's just one of the many differences between the genders, am I right? I'll get into the message here, man. Just bear with me. I'm gonna read scripture here, but I want to tell you something. Listen to me. What if it was the three wise women instead of the three wise men that went to find Jesus? Well, I can tell you exactly what would have happened. I can tell you that, first off, they would have got directions before they left. They would have got you on time. They would have probably helped deliver Jesus. Oh, yeah. They would have cleaned the stable. Amen. They'd have baked the casserole. And when they'd have brought a little nice little cute outfit for him to go home in. I'm kidding on. If it was been the three wise women instead of the three wise men, but God in all his wisdom decided to send us three wise men. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. What made them so wise? And I'm going to get into the scripture here in a little bit. Please bear with me on this. I hope it made it lighthearted for you to get started. But we are going to get into what made the wise men wise? What made them so wise? And what can we gain from looking at this and seeing their wisdom? Okay? What can we gain from? Alright, let's read the scripture, then we'll have a word of prayer. Very familiar scripture, Matthew 2nd chapter, starting with the first verse. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. When Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when he had found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Let us pray. Father, I ask you, Lord, this morning, Father, to be with us. Help us, Father, this morning as this message go out the way that you would have it, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would get me out of the way, Lord. First off, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just use me as a vessel, Lord, that you'd have, Lord, to preach a sermon this morning in the way that it should be, in the way that you want it this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that hearts would be receptive this morning. I pray that, Father. You know, I just praise you for the opportunity I have to stand before behind the sacred desk. Now, Lord, use me. guide and direct it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. Amen. You know, while we think the story of this Christmas story, that the wise men were present at the time, and I'm going to get into a lot of different things here, but I'll get to the meat of the lesson here in a little bit. A lot of this stuff, I know I'm preaching to the choir about a lot of this different things here, but you know, when we're studying God's Word, we find out that the wise men were probably not there at the birth of Jesus Christ. We can see that from looking at Scripture. We can just look at it out. This morning, let's look at both these men who never witnessed. These are men who never witnessed the birth of Jesus, number one. They never witnessed it. And what I'm saying, they were not there the night that Jesus Christ was born, probably. And to look at the gifts that they brought, I want to look at all this stuff a little bit today sometime, so you just bear with me on it. How many of the first question was asked, were how many wise men were there? That's all just a general rule that there were three because of the three gifts. We have no idea how many there was. There could have been 10, there could have been 15, there could have been 3. We have no idea because the Bible doesn't say specifically. This is just tradition of men that tells us that there was 3. All right, who were they? They were the Magi, is what they call them. One of the words for Magi is magician. There's our word magician. And they were devoted to the study of the stars. We understand that from what we hear this. But other than that, we don't know. We don't know what they were about. We just don't know it. So where were they from? Some say they were from Arabia. Some say they were from Babylon. Some say they were from Persia. In other words, we don't know very much about them. But one thing we do know, they remain a mystery, but one thing that we do know, the Bible tells us and calls them that they were called wise men for a reason. They were called wise. So I want to propose a question to you this morning. Why were they called wise men? Why were they called this? Well, we don't know a whole lot about them. And what can be done if we study out why they were called this for us? What can we learn from them being wise? You know, even to the point, how can we just as today learn from them as we're studying here today? They were wise because of the decision to search for Jesus. That was the first thing I want you to understand this morning. They were wise. They recognized that in this world that they lived in, they knew that there was going to be a Savior come, but what a little bit of Scripture they had. And brothers, that they had very little. But I want you to know this morning, from what they heard, they understood beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were going to go search for a king. They were going to go search for the King of the Jews, is what they said. And you know what, brothers and sisters? We live in a world today where we have so much radio, so much television, so much internet, so much preaching, so many different versions of the Bible, and yet there are so few people that really, truly try to search for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's very few that do. They don't, you know, they hear it. They know what they should do. People out here in the world, us as Christians, we tell them about Jesus. This time of year especially, people know about Jesus. They know, they may know about the guy in the red suit more, but they know about Jesus Christ also this time of year. And yet, whenever this is said and done, do they really, truly search for him like the wise man searched for? They didn't do it. They went to search for the king. You know what? Well, number one, they were very intelligent people, right? They had to be. Some even said that they were kings. We three kings of Orient are. That's another song. They said that they may have been kings. So we understand it didn't matter because of their status. It didn't matter of what kind of educational background they had. They still decided that they were going to set out and search for this King of the Jews. And listen, what's that tell us today, folks? I don't know where your status is in life. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. You know what? We still need to seek and search for the King of the Jews. We need to seek and to serve for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? We can learn that from the wise men. Romans 1:22 tells me, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. There's the people out there today that are so intelligent. They're so they think they're above all this religious stuff, but not knowing that, listen to what the Scripture said, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools because they do not understand that they need Jesus no matter where they're at in their educational life, no matter where they're at in their stature in life. They need Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:27, But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He is, you know, a simple thing like a baby being born in a manger, you know, and people, and all these people, these intelligent people look at it and say, that's impossible. He could not have been born of a virgin. They try to figure this thing out instead of looking at it through the eyes that it should be looked at, through spiritual eyes, through what God has given to know that, yes, He was born of a virgin. He was born exactly the way He said He is. And brothers and sisters, He came that you and I could have salvation. If it was not a birth, there wouldn't have been an Easter. Amen? If it was not a birth, there could not have been an Easter. There's so little things that they try to send out here to try to confound people and try to make it. I'll tell you what, if us as Christians, the Bible tells me that in the last days, if the days weren't shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. You've read that scripture in the Bible. I want you to know something, folks. There's people out there today, I'm telling you, are turning their backs. They're going to these churches or going to churches. They're turning their backs and going away and saying, well, you know what? I kind of believe just exactly what the world's trying to teach. Listen, they're being confounded by these people that are training to be wise, but they're not. They're not wise. They're wise because they didn't let this worldly stuff stop them from seeking Jesus Christ. Also, when they started out, they didn't have all the facts, probably. The Bible doesn't tell us just exactly what all they had. They followed His star. They had a little bit of scripture that said where He was going to be born, and they knew that there was going to be a king born. But you know what? They started out, but they may have went 1,000 miles. Some of them said they may have went close to 1,000 miles. Who knows? And it took them almost 2 years to do it. But they started out and they left with just what little bit of facts they had. Brothers, I want you to know something. We have more than that today in our world, like I told you. I want you to listen to something I heard the other day. If every church in America was filled to capacity, every church, now listen, this is something hard for me to understand. If every church was filled to capacity, it would only be 5% of the American people. The other 95% would never go into a church. And you don't think we need to evangelize? We need to be out there talking to 95% of them that may never, ever know, you know, that may never ever hear what's going on. But I say, praise God. And you know what? We think that we need to go everywhere else in the world to evangelize. I'll tell you, this country here needs evangelized. This country here does. They don't want to hear about His love. They don't want to hear about that He can save them. You know what? These wise men, they started out, they went on their own, they started out with very little information, and brothers and sisters, we have a bunch of information today. We have a bunch. I'll tell you one verse of Scripture that I like and what it says. You know, it says that, you know, the Bible tells me, in the plan of salvation, very few people will ever hear that unless we're the ones to tell them. I say this all the time, and I mean this. We are the only Bible that some people will ever read. We are. The way that we act, the way that we do things in this life, we're going to be the only one, the only Bible that some will ever see or hear. It's the way that we act. And brothers, we need to evangelize out there and do it. We need to seek God for what He wants us to do. And I'll tell you what, all people, all have access, and still very few will seek Him. And that's very sad. It's very sad. There's a lot of people have. So yes, the wise men, listen to me, who were, because they decided to search for Jesus. And I'll tell you what, we as Christians need to let people know that they need to search for Jesus Christ. Amen? They had a hunger to find out more about Jesus. The wise men, when they started out, you know what? They had a hunger to find out this King, to find this King. And you know what? We can learn through that, folks. We can learn that we need to have that hunger in our hearts to find out more about Jesus Christ. I mean, this could be something we could do every day. But why did they teach us? What did they teach us? Look at what Jesus said, Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Listen, if I am hungry, and if I want something to eat, I want to tell you something. I'm going to make it possible. I'm going to do everything in my power to find and go get that so I can eat. Right? You would do the same thing. If you're hungry, if you're starving, you're going to try to get anything in your power to get something to eat. If you're starving for the Word of God and you're willing to learn about Jesus, There's nothing going to stop you from learning about Jesus. Amen? You're going to want to find Him. You're going to want to go and try to search it out the way that you can do it. You're going to want that. Listen, probably there were things that they didn't go real well on their trip. I guarantee you there was. They were out there for that long and that much in the desert. And, you know, and riding on probably camels, it doesn't tell us what they were on. It's just, we see this it's real nice for our nativity scenes and things like that. We don't know how that they got where they got to. It was probably camels. But I want to tell you something. I don't figure it was a real nice trip to go 1,000 miles on a camel. I don't figure anybody in here has ever tried it. And probably I don't think I ever will. I don't know. But it probably didn't go smooth. But yet, during that time, they still had a hunger and a thirst to find that king. They never give up. They step on going. And I'll tell you something, brother and sister, that would be a good lesson for me and you today. A good lesson for me and you today. You know what? They were wise because they could see God at work. It was a little bit of His Word that revealed to them. They probably had read it. They probably heard it. And you know what? They weren't going to give up no matter what was said. They were not going to give up. Let's look at Matthew 2, again 4 and 5. And it says, "And when he had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets." That's the scripture that they had. That's the scripture that they had. That's why whenever the king called them in and demanded of the scribes and Pharisees, this is what the wise men had. And we have no way of knowing how much of it they got to read or how much scripture they had. But one thing we know is they had enough knowledge. They had enough knowledge in Scripture to know that the Messiah was coming and that they were going to search for Him. You and I have much more. We have much more than that. We have the Old and New Testament at our disposal. Like those wise men of old, God wants us to speak to us through His Word. Amen? If you are willing to listen, God is going to talk to you through Scripture. He will do that. Amen? I want to tell you something. Have you ever had Scripture come to your mind when you needed an answer from God? The Holy Spirit will bring Scripture to your mind, will bring it to your recollection every time that you need it, if we have the Holy Spirit upon our lives to guide and direct us and bring His Scripture to our minds. Listen, we've got to get into the Word of God. If you want to be a wise man or woman, you have to listen to what God wants to tell you, and you're going to have to read the Word of God. Luke 12:48 tells us, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." This mark is in your Bible in yellow. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." You know why that's important for us when we get into the Word of God? I'm going to say a part of that again. That's a little bit of part in that scripture, and it says, For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. They will ask. You know why that's important to us as Christians? Brothers and sisters, we need to dig into the Word of God unafraid. And when we get into the Word of God, God's going to require us to use that knowledge for His will and for His purpose. Amen? He will do that. The wise men didn't have much to go on, but what they went on, they used. And I'm afraid sometimes, folks, us as Christians, God gives us so much in this Bible. And you know what? We let it go in one ear and out the other. We don't take it to heart. We don't use it for what He wants it to be used for. And I'm going to tell you what, we are going to have to stand account for it one of these days. As Norman Taylor says again, it's in your book also. It's in your book also. You know what? Depending on where you're at in your search, there's a lot of requirements for us, folks. There's a lot. If you're here without Jesus this morning, I want you to know something. You're required, if you want to see heaven, you're going to have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's number one and foremost. If you're here this morning and do not know Him as your Savior, you're required to know Him before you ever have a chance of ever entering in heaven. You're required that. Like the wise man, seek Him. He's not far. I like the picture of Jesus standing at the door knocking. And you all know this. You've all seen that picture. And you also know this also. Do you notice that there's no doorknob on the side Jesus is on? There's no doorknob there. Why is that important? Why is that important in that picture? Because He can't open the door. You've got to open it. If you're here this morning and you don't know Him, and you're dealing with that in your life right now, you've got to open the door so He can come in. That's why that picture was so important. And I know a lot of you know that, but you know, it's so important to reiterate that stuff sometimes because we've got to understand it's required of us. It's required of those people that are lost. They're going to have to know Jesus as their Savior. It's just plain and simple. Challenge God. If you're here this morning and there's a reason you don't believe or can't believe, let me tell you something this morning. Challenge God to show you why and where you can believe that. Challenge God to do that. You would say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. I don't want to believe in God. I want you to do me a favor. Challenge God to say, challenge my unbelief. Say, God, challenge my unbelief in this. And I'll tell you what, then you get into the Word, and I'll tell you what will happen. I believe God will show you. There was a book that I was reading here, Making a Case for Christ, here a while back, and this guy was an attorney. What was that guy's name, Tank? You remember the book? Lee Strober. He was an attorney. A good book, if anybody ever wants to get a chance. Maybe some of you in here have read it. But he was an attorney who was an atheist. And he went out to write a book to prove that there was no God and that there was no Jesus, because he was going to do it in a law manner. He was going to He got to reading the Bible and he got to study about it. He got saved, by the way. Then he went on to make a case and said, making a case for Christ. And he did. He wrote one of the best books you ever want to read about making a case for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I challenge anybody, if you do not believe, to try to prove it wrong. Get into the Word of God and try to prove it. You'll see. John 8:32 tells me, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's no doubt in my mind. If you get to, these wise men may not have known very much, but they knew enough scripture to know that it affected their lives and they had to go search for a king. I want you to know, you get into the Word of God and you do not believe or do not understand, I want you to know God can use the Word to help you understand and help you believe. Christians, like the wise men, were required to dig into the Word and to use it on their journey. I want you to know, we're required to use the Word of God on our journey also. Are we not? Yes, we are. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So much for our journey. And many times, we don't use the road map. We don't use it. We wonder how our lives get so messed up sometimes. We wonder, and yet, we don't find time to get into God's Word daily. And I'm not talking, and I told you this, I'm not one of those guys, one of them preachers that tells you, you've got to read the Word of God in a year, or read it completely through. I'd rather have you read two scriptures and let the Holy Spirit deal with you and show you than I would have you read the whole Bible clear through and not really comprehend what you're reading. That's what I say. When I tell you, I don't care. It's good if you read the Bible through. Praise God if you do. But understand what you're reading. Study the roadmap. The wise men, they understood what little scripture they had. They used it. And I'll tell you what, that's what God wants is required of us. It's to study to show ourselves approved. So many times we do that. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Brothers and sisters, let's use it all. Let's use every bit of it for that. They were wise for the way that they searched for Jesus. They were wise because they were determined, folks. They were determined to see it through till the end. They weren't going to give up until they found Jesus, right? I believe the wise men were wise, and I want to tell you something this morning. I hope and pray that you're wise enough this morning not to give up until you see heaven one of these days. I hope and pray that you're wise enough to do it. They traveled up to 1,000 miles. They were almost 2 years on the journey. You know what? To locate Christ, they searched for the answers, right? They did. This wasn't some religious fad. It wasn't on some whim that they did this. They knew that at the end of their search, they would come upon what they were looking for. And brothers, I want to tell you something this morning. If we're in this for the right reason, at the end of our search, we're going to come upon what we're looking for. Amen. We're not going to worry about this whole world anymore, are we? You're determined to do that in your spiritual walk. I want you to know we will be wise men and wise women. Look at the parable over Matthew 13, 8 through 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And listen to what says the Lord, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground, and he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. Listen, what is he telling us in that scripture right there? What I'm telling you here about, we have got to finish out our journey. We've got to finish out. You know what? You could have been here, and you could hear the word this morning, and you could be just like that. It could have been sowed among thorns, and the devil's come, and he's deceiving you, and your word gets choked out, and you can't have no root in it. And before long, you're falling by the wayside. God doesn't want us to fall by the wayside. He wants us to continue on this journey like the wise men did, find Jesus Christ, and one of these days, make it to a heavenly home one of these days. He wants us to do that. We can do it. You've got to have that bulldog determination. You've got to have it. That type. You ever seen those? I seen a video one time. They had this pit bull, and it was hanging on to this piece of leather or something. And they were taking that dog and swinging that dog around like this with something. I don't know. That dog would not let go. Its jaws were tight against that. It would not let go, and they spun it, and the cat went on for a long time. We got to have that pit bull determination, folks. We're going to see heaven one of these days. We cannot let go. We cannot let the cares of this world, we cannot let the things of this world turn us aside. We have got to be like the wise men and women that we need to be, and we got to continue on searching until we come to that place one of these days where Jesus Christ is at. We seek Jesus every day. They were dependent on God when they searched. The star directed them. They were dependent on God for that star to show them the direction that they would go. They had the scripture they knew, but they were dependent on that. Folks, we are dependent on the Holy Ghost to lead us every day. We are dependent on that. I don't know about you, but I've got to feel His presence once in a while. I cannot just walk in these dry places all the time. I've got to feel His presence. And if I do not feel His presence, Oki, once in a while, I start to get down. I start to question. The devil starts getting in there. I need to feel Him all the time. Like the wise man had the star, brothers and sisters. We got the Holy Ghost. We got it to guide and direct. The Holy Ghost will lead us. John 14, 16 through 17. It says, John 14, 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Listen, for even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. That's not a fairy tale. That's not something that I made up. It's there. The Holy Spirit will dwell in your heart, in your soul. Down to 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whithersoever I have said unto you. I know a lot of people say, well, He's just talking to the disciples. Praise God, I'm glad He was talking to me too one day. I'm glad He was talking to me one day. You know what? We got the Holy Ghost to lead us. They were wise men, and I'll tell you what, brothers, we can learn a lot from a wise man. We can learn a lot. Praise God this morning. I think I'm done. Come get a song. Lord willing, tonight, I'm going to complete this message. I've never done this before, but God said today, I could have went on for 2 hours on this, but this evening I want to preach on the gifts that they brought. And I want to preach on why those are important to us. And I know you've heard the normal things that's been said about them. This is a little different take on them. But praise God, I want you, if you feel led to come back out tonight, I'm going to finish just this evening. But this morning, if you have a need this morning in your life, you know what? If God has dealt with you and you feel, you know what, Dave, you know what? Those wise men, they can show me a lot. They showed me a lot. Please come up here this morning and let's pray. Let's do that.